Bezrat Hashem Mizbeach, we begin the new Hilchos Shluchin V'Shutafin, the laws of the agents and of the partners, which are the fourth out of the five different halachas in the Sefer Kinyan Book of Acquisitions. Which in elu halachas, the idea of these halachas are Leida din Shlucha Shaladim, to know the laws of the agent of a person, V'Shutafin and his partners, U'Mishpateim and their judgments, B'Mikacham U'Mimkaram, regarding their buying and their selling, B'Hafseidim V'Scharim, regarding their losses and their gains. And the explanation of all these laws, but Prakam Elo are in these chapters, which there are 10 chapters. The first three discuss the laws of Shlichas, of agency. Perek Dal and He discuss the laws of Shutfis, of partnership. Vav Teches discuss regarding someone who engages with someone else's money. And Tes and Yod discuss regarding the oath of partners. I mean, that would begin Perek Rishon, the first chapter, which the Rambam discusses the laws of agency, if an agent deviates from what he was told to do, and regarding an agent, regarding paying up of a debt. As Rambam gets halacha off regarding the appointment of an agent, does not need any witnesses, does not need any acquisitions. If someone says to his agent, go out and sell my property or my movable items, or buy for me, had his a meicher, but lekeach, but eisa shlichus. He could sell, he could buy, he could do his agency. B'chol ma'aseh b'kiyam, and all his actions are valid. Ve'ino eisa shaliach tzarich kinyan, and the one who makes the agent does not need an acquisition for that. V'loy eidim, does not need any witnesses. Ela b'mira b'vat, just by speech itself. Ve'ino le'bin chaveh, between him and his friend. Ve'in tzarichim eidim, and one does not require witnesses. Ela legalas adaba, only to reveal this thing. Im kofa ech mehem, and one of the parties deny, kishar kol atainus, like all other claims. For only that itself, one would need witnesses, but that's extrinsic, not intrinsic, to the making of a shliach. Halacha Beis continues regarding what happens if the agent violates or makes a mistake regarding what he was told to do. So shliach sh'over al dibur mishalchem. So if the agent violates the words of the one who sent him, lo yaseh klum, he hasn't done anything, he hasn't affected anything. V'cheinim ta'a b'chol shu, so to be errs, even in a small amount. B'mekarka b'metalim, whether by real estate, whether by movable items, chayzer, the thing is undone. Because the one who sends him tells him to fix with my agency is what I send you for. Is not to pervert, not to make things worse. And because they didn't say that the laws of oino, which the frauds the whole transaction by mulba items, is only if there's at least a discrepancy of a sixth. And regarding slaves and documents and real estate, there we say there's no problem with fraud at all, even one of the six. That's when someone's selling his own things. Like Kohen Latzmo is buying for himself. But regarding an agent that makes a mistake, as we're discussing, by all these things, even minute amount, it is undone. So even if it's karka, which there's never even I know, and even by metatlin, less than the shtos, it's going to be chayzer. Halacha Gimel. If someone gives money to his agent, to buy from him property, and he buys from him without insurance, that's considered a distortion of the agency, and therefore not valid. So, but he bought the property. So what happens is, so the agent, he takes it for himself, as he bought it from the seller without insurance, also like he did. And then he goes back and he sells it to the one who sent him with insurance. And the reason why he has to do like this is because ultimately he bought the property with the monies of the sender. Where had he bought it with his own money and not with the sender's money, you're right, he wouldn't have to fix it up and resell it with insurance to the sender. He would just keep it for himself. But here it was with the sender's monies. So therefore, he has to resell it to him with insurance. And now the insurance, the responsibility of that, is on the agent, which that's from the laws of shlichas, that when you do things, it's you have that responsibility with all the components of the agency. Is anything similar to this case? Now, the figure, therefore, but if, let's say, stipulated is making an agent, whatever happens, whether you make it better for me or worse for me, then even if he sells for him something that's really worth 100 for one dinner, or he bought something that's worth just one dinner and he bought him 100, he cannot back out because in regards to karka, there's no laws of I know. So even though it's 100%, 100-time difference, and therefore the one who sent him has to give it to him according to stipulations, which was even if it's going to be la'abas, even if it's going to be for his bed. Halacha dal. Someone says to his agent, sell for me from my field an area that can be planted a sa. And he sells, instead of that, double that amount, the area that can be planted two sa. So this is Hariza Maisabal Dabar. He didn't violate his words, he added on to his words. So what happens is, the buyer obviously can't buy more than what the sender was allowing him, but he buys at least what was allowed to be, which was the one sa and not the two sa. In contrast, Amalei, let's say, tells him, the sender tells the agent, Mokhali Besa, I'm sell for me, the area could be sold two sa. Mokhali Besa, and he sells him an area that could be planted one sa. He's a marvel above, he's violating his words. Because even though you could add on now and do another one, that would be for two different people, doesn't want. Once a one person. So it's violating. I said two and you did one. But the buyer does not acquire anything. Amalei, let's say, tells him, Mokhali Sadal Adam Echad, sell me my field to one person. Now the agent goes and sells it to two people. Again, the sale is void, because he violated what he told him was to one person. If he tells him, sell for me a field, and he didn't specify, then even if he sells to 100 people, the sale is going to be valid, because he didn't stipulate what it is, and therefore he didn't violate technically his words. If someone gives money to his agents, to go buy from wheat, any type of species of produce, of merchandise. And he didn't buy it. He gave him money to buy and he didn't buy it. So the sender only has complaints, meaning he's not responsible to paying for any damages inherent that he lost out because it wasn't an active act of damage. Yeah, he lost out because he told him to go buy from him and he didn't. But it's only could lodge a complaint. Let's say he gave him money to buy wheat. And that's bein lachila, bein laschayra, whether for eating purposes, whether for merchandise purposes, which you could say maybe one would be more specific than the other. V'halach v'lokar ben sa'irim. They went and they bought barley instead. So it depends. Impachasu demei. If the value of this, zeshalokach, what he bought from, went down, that's less than what he asked him to buy. So pachasu l'shlich. So that deficiency is the responsibility of the agent, where he has to carry that weight because it was his mistake. And that's because he deviated over here. Now, if the value of what he bought actually ends up increasing in that value even more, that increase goes to the owner of the money, is the one who sent him. Now, the Rambam continues regarding receiving a gift from the seller, regards to what he was sent by the sender. So, let's say the item that he sent him to go buy was a set and well-known price. Now, actually, the seller goes and adds on to the agent, who he is an agent for the sender to go buy, and they add on, let's say, baminyan, certain numbers of quantity, or bamishkol weight, or bamido or measurement. So they actually gave more than the money's value, and we know because there's a set price. So kol shasivil amoichim, whatever the seller's increased for the agent, hadei shashlim belongs to both the agent and the sender, and the v'bchelik atesefes, this addition is split. Hashalich and Balamois, the agent together with the owner of the monies. Now, but Vimhoya, Dabesh, Ain Lakitzer, but let's say with something that doesn't have a set price, something that goes up, something that goes down, then Akula Balamois, then all that is going to belong to the owner of the monies, because here it's not like they're giving any, possibly to the agent. It's something that could be up or down the price. That has nothing to do with the agent, and therefore it all goes to the sender. Halacha Vav continues regarding an agent to pay up a debt. Misha Yechayb Lechaber Mom, if someone owed his friend money, because it was a loan, whether it was a deposit of his, or some wages, be that as it may, he owes this money to that person. And so he gives the money in the hand of the agent and tells him, look, take this money to my creditor, to the person that I owe this money to. So the agent does not have to be involved with this, to give the money in front of witnesses to that creditor. Now, if he said to the agent, don't go pay back this debt unless there's witnesses, and he did pay back without witnesses, then he would be liable to pay if the recipient claims he didn't receive it because it's like actively harming him because he gave over his money to someone else, which he had no permission to. It was only with witnesses that he had permission. Let's say the debt was recorded in a document. So whether he tells him, look, take first the document and then give him the monies, whether he tells him 10 amos for kachashtar, give him the monies and take the document. Either way, if he gave him the money without witnesses, but he didn't take the document that records the debt, Chayav l'shalom. The agent has to pay because he only sent him to fix things, not to make it worse. And here he gave him the money without collecting the document, and that's his fault, that of the agent. Halacha then continues regarding what happens if there's a disagreement, a refutation between the agent and the lender. So, if someone sends the money that he has in the hand of his agent, he tells him, look, go, take this money to that person, that I owe to him, and he gives it to him without witnesses. So, the agent says, I gave the money. The creditor, which is the lender, or the worker, Omer says, I didn't take the money. I didn't get this paid money. Now, so you have three people standing over here. You have the sender, who was the debtor, owed the money, the agent, who was there to take it. And you have the creditor, whether it be the lender or the worker, or someone that was owed the money. So you do as follows. Hashaliach nishbehes shenasin. So the agent first takes this rabbinic oath that he gave the money, like someone who totally denies where he's really exempt. But rabbinically, he required an oath, even though he's totally denying that he has any liability over here, that he swears that he gave the money. And now the creditor or the worker, whichever case he is, he makes the biblical oath that he didn't take anything. He didn't collect. And now that person, the one who was the original sender, he has to pay to the creditor or the owner of the deposit, whichever one he is, because the guy says, I never got it yet. And he's the defendant, and he's the one who swears, and then that original sender has to pay up. Now, and even if the agents themselves, there were two people together, so two people are generally witnesses, their testimony is not going to be effective to exempt themselves from the rabbinic oath, because they are biased with their testimony, because they have to make a rabbinic oath. In other words, even if they would claim that they gave it back to the borrower, they would be liable for Shuas Hesses, as we said. So therefore, maybe you would say they would make the claim that they gave it back to the lender to exempt themselves from the Shuas Hesses. So therefore, we're saying they're Chayav Shuas Hesses, even with such a claim, they are biased, and they have to make this rabbinic oath. Now, but Midrim, when we say this halacha that we just described, the case that we just described, where the agent was denying the creditor. The creditor saying, I never received it, and the shliach saying, I gave it. We have these three people standing over here. That's the case that we're just talking about. But let's say agent comes along and he says, Nasati kimoshamartali, comes back to the sender, says, I give the money to the creditor like you told me. And the creditor is not here. So any yochalash biyoy heses shasras lichus, he cannot make him take a rabbinic oath that he did his agency. There's no one make a definite claim that lender is not here. No one's making a claim that he didn't do his agency, and you cannot make a rabbinic oath on a doubtful claim. You can't say, oh, maybe you didn't. It's only if it is a definitive claim. Someone's making a claim that it wasn't done. So too, the other way around. The other party is missing. If the agent died already or they went overseas, now the creditor is coming to claim that, wait a second, I never got paid. So the borrower cannot make him take a rabbinic oath, that make you have to first swear that the agent didn't pay you up. No one's making a definite claim that he did get, that he took from him, because he doesn't know. He sent that agent. The agent's not here anymore. He's dead or he went overseas. And rather, what you do is machrim haloi v'chedim stam. So the borrower, he's obviously getting the raw end over here. So he makes an excommunication, unspecific. U'mishalim hachev shalav, and he pays up the debt that's on him. Anything similar like that, that you make this chayim, like that whoever is here that's lying about the situation, which is like kanz chachamim, takanz hagainim, that okay, you know, he can't make him take an oath, because it's a Taina Shema, but there's a Chayim, whoever is going in and lying about this. Halacha Ches continues with an agent that comes with writing from the lender. So Reuben Shashol Ksob L'Shimon. Reuben gives a handwriting to Shimon. Vamalani says to him, Mono Sheyeshli Biyadcha, that the money that I have by you, that you owe me, Shalchei Li Biyad Levi, send it to me through this person Levi. Now, he can't force the borrower to pay up through Levi. But if he wants to send it through Levi, In the chayav b'achriyus, then he's not going to be responsible for the insurance if something happens to it. Whether it was a loan, whether it was a deposit. As long as he recognized that this is the handwriting of the person that he owes the money to, that he's sending him, saying, hey, you could send it back with Levi. Now, bimton hamal v'vo amar, but let's say, subsequently, the lender claims, and he says, I didn't write anything, I didn't send you this Levi to send it back. So yishav ha-Levi has this. So the borrower could make a rabbinic oath. What do you mean? Your handwriting came to me. And there I sent the money. He's going to be exempt if the money never gets back to the lender. Because says, Ram, this is how my teachers ruled. But if the handwriting on that memo was not the handwriting of the lender, or if just the borrower doesn't know if it's the handwriting of the lender, or even if it was written, some signs and distinctive features that was made up between the lender and the borrower, but it doesn't know definitively that this is his handwriting. If Reuven claims and he says, I never sent any writing to you, must have been other people had deceived you. So then Shimon's going to be responsible for the insurance, because it's as if he's saying, I don't know if I paid you up, because he doesn't know definitively if it was the handwriting of the lender. And he has to pay to Reuven after that he makes a cheirim al misha shalach sabzem midaitoi v'lo yoida, that whoever did it and consciously make this handwriting and is not admitting to it because he wants to force the lender to remember that maybe he really did, maybe he just doesn't recall, can't force him to make, because it's a tain Hashem, he can't force him to make a shvua, but he's going to make some type of a cheirim on whoever is doing this. But yesh mishar that some who rule, says the Rambam, she shavu Reuven, that no, Reuven has to swear. Achach yitol, and then he could take, he could then call in the Shmamanit, like all those who the halacha is that they swear, and then they collect. Halacha Tes continues with, but there's a disagreement between the lender and the borrower, how much did the shliach collect? So Levi shabob b'shlich as Reuven. So if Levi came through the agency of Reuven to borrow money from Shimon, but look at chamisha mishimon, and he took 50 coins from Shimon. And then Reuven subsequently comes and he says, I only sent him to get $20 from you. And he only brought me the agent $20 that you lent to me. So Reuven makes an oath that he only sent him to get from $20. But and that he only brought him 20. Because then call him like all those who admit to a partial claim. Because he's the lender's claiming 50, he's saying no, only 20, and he pays the 20 to Shimon the way he's admitting. The Levi Nishba Hesses. Now Levi, the agent, he swears rabbinic oath, Shachamishim Shanasatali, that the 50 that you did give me, Nasatali Reuven, that I gave it to Reuven. And be Shalim Shimon mi Beisai. So actually, this is actually a new case. So up until this point, we're talking about that Reuven had borrowed from Shimon through an agent. Now we're talking about the opposite way, that Shimon had borrowed from Reuven, and Reuven received the debt from Shimon the borrower through an agent. And that is, Shimon is claiming that he paid to Reuven 50 through the shliach. The shliach is claiming like him, but Reuven is claiming that he only got 20, and now he's claiming the other 30. So in that case, Vishalom Shimon Mebesai, Shimon will have to pay out of pocket, because Reuven's saying, I didn't get what you owe me. And Chayv Reuven, if he owed to Reuven, so that's a case just in the reverse. If there's anything that's something like that, is going to have this halacha.